Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And we are back. This is the WFMY Browns Cast, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. I'm your host, Joe Gilbert. I'm with Taylor Jezrezak again. Taylor, how are we doing?
Oh, pretty good. Today is my flu game.
Yeah. Yes.
Dealing with the stomach bug.
Yeah. Yeah. But before we get started, this is once again brought to you by our friends at Underdog Fantasy. First-time depositors entering the code WFMY at checkout. And Underdog will match your deposit up to $100. Underdog is a great platform if you're tired of the DFS salary system. Tons of game types, drafts every night, and for every sport. Don't forget to use WFNY at checkout to get your first-time deposit matched up to $100. That is Underdog Fantasy. Okay, so the last time we talked was before free agency started. And now
feels like forever ago, but it was right, like 5 days.
I know, right? Yeah, we are now what, 5 days into free agency? Well, from the start,
5 days into legal tampering.
Yeah, legal tampering, which is basically free agency. Yeah. But yeah, Browns have been pretty busy overall. Let's start with what the Browns have done in house. They have re-signed Ethan Pocic. Their center, and then linebacker Sione Takitaki. I didn't think they would be able to kind of sign Ethan Pocic, so this is a nice surprise for me.
Yeah, I definitely thought that he would be, because there was the rumors came out, I think it was the end of last week or maybe last weekend, that there was gonna be, he might get $10 million a season on the open market. And you know, at that point, the Browns don't have the cap flexibility to be paying another lineman that kind of money. So, like, you kind of write it off as a foregone conclusion that he was going to go somewhere else, and they got him back for what amounts to about $6 million a year, which feels like a steal.
Yeah, especially what the other kind of contracts have been throughout the league and in the interior offensive line. That's a steal. Like, he played at a top three level.
I think. I mean, he was one of the top graded centers for stretches of the last season.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was great to, it's good to, because this is obviously a do or die season for Stefanski and company. And they can't really roll with Nick Harris when you don't, it's been, how many years has it been? 3 years now?
Where he hasn't been healthy.
I think he's played, maybe one game each year, maybe.
Yeah.
So it would have been pretty scary to kind of go in with a rookie center there. I thought it was a great signing to kind of get Ethan back and know what you're getting for the next couple of years at center. Yeah. Next one is Sione Takitaki. They signed him to a 1 year contract. I think it was pretty low. I think it was probably like your basic minimum contract.
I think it was like $2 or $3 million or something.
Yeah, close to it. Yeah. So, what's your thoughts on that? I liked it overall. I think he fits his role pretty well. He fits that strong side run defending role pretty well, and getting him from that kind of low contract is a good way of just kind of not creating holes and just bringing back the guys that worked for you.
Yeah, I want to say midway through last season, we had written him off, me and you collectively had written him off as he's gone and that's not going to be a big detriment to the Browns. But like, once he became one of the lead linebackers and kind of an every down guy, he really came into a role and found a stride until he tore his knee up at the end of the season.
Along with every other linebacker.
Yeah, and obviously him getting hurt helped the Browns in the sense that it made it easier to bring him back because there weren't going to be very many people kind of sniffing around someone who might not be available to start the season. So it made it easier to re-sign him. It made him cheaper to re-sign him. So now you get him on a one-year prove-it deal to see if the end of last season was a fluke. And obviously your new defensive coordinator, who is in all respects a much better, prospectively a much better defensive coordinator than the one you fired, saw enough in him that they brought him back. And I think that that should speak a lot on what they see out of him in general.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those things where I think you, for what he does, I think it makes sense to bring him back. You don't want to have to create another kind of need to assign somebody for that role. So it was smart, and they needed depth at linebacker. I don't think he's your starting middle linebacker. I think I would still guess Walker is on the list.
He's another guy that could come back on a very cheap contract.
Yeah.
Part of that's his age. Part of that is another guy coming off injury. There hasn't been a whole lot of movement on him.
Yeah.
Any sense, aside from who was it that tweeted that they want him back?
It was a couple of the defenders. I think it was Newsom. It was JOK was another one.
So JOK says he wants him back. So like
he seems pretty popular in the line in the defensive room. So, and we saw like the defense really declined after he went out. Like, I know there's a lot of other kind of factors, but like
it was hard to judge it too much because he went out in the middle of game three.
Right.
But like
was noticeable, like how, at least in terms of the run defense, it just fell apart.
Yeah. He's that guy that can get everyone in the right spot.
Yeah.
So bringing him back would be good. I still think they probably need to address linebacker further, even if they sign Anthony Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's drafting a guy in the mid rounds or picking up another like kind of flyer guy, you can't really go into next season with the linebacker core that you had.
Mm-hmm.
You need to add another body.
Yeah,
now, the likelihood that the same position group gets hit with
six
season-ending injuries again is probably pretty low.
Right.
So, like, at the end of the season, when we were complimenting Tony Fields for some of the things that he did, he's, like, your third string most times. Like, he's not going to see the field on a whole lot other than special teams.
Yeah.
So, like, you have some depth, but your top-end talent isn't very high.
Right. Yeah. And the linebacker market kind of was a little high, I think. So I think that's why the Browns kind of stayed away for the first couple days here.
The defensive tackle market scared the crap out of me for the first few days.
And then, that actually leads us right into the perfect one here because the Browns made out, man. So they signed Dalvin Tomlinson, formerly of the Minnesota Vikings. What was his contract? It was, 3 years? Let me look it up. I had it with me, and then I lost it.
So many tweets.
I know. It was a four-year contract, $27.5 million guaranteed. This was done on – was it done on – it was done on Monday, right?
Monday or Tuesday, they had that one locked down.
It was done Monday night, I believe.
Yeah, it was one of the last things. It was like I was getting ready to go to bed, and they announced it at like 10:15.
Right. Yeah, and it was after all the big ones went, like Draymond Jones, all the top guys that were going to get high price, and they went out.
And that Draymond Jones contract
was ludicrous. Insane. Right, and then you see Dalvin Tomlinson sign that same day, and he comes in about what I think four million guaranteed less a year than everybody else. Like that was an impressive signing by Barry, because Dalvin was pretty much the people have rated him like the top three in the free agent class, give or take. And he fits a huge need. He seems to be ascending player because he's still relatively young, at 29. Defensive tackles can kind of live on a little bit longer than most positions, but I thought that was a great signing. What's your thoughts on Dalvin Tomlinson?
I mean, he kind of fits everything that they were missing last year.
Yes.
He's one of the higher graded run stoppers in the league. Mm-hmm. Obviously, one of the things that we were pretty consistent in pointing out last season with the defensive tackles was that they got washed out of their pass rush lanes so easily.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes Myles Garrett's job almost impossible.
Yep.
Because the quarterback can just like step up 2 yards and Myles Garrett just misses, can't do anything about it. So having a guy like this and, you know, hopefully I think they probably still do need to sign one more defensive tackle. I think, and we're going to get into it later, but the two other guys they signed, I think are more depth guys.
Yeah.
I don't like they're solid. They seem to be solid.
Yeah.
Like they fill a role.
Yeah, I think they're role players. Yeah.
But they're not starters. And with Taven Bryant also going, and you know, he wasn't anything special, but it's a piece you lose.
He sadly was our best one though.
Yeah, it's a piece you lose, so it's a piece you need to kind of replace. Yeah. So they're probably looking at still signing someone else. I can't imagine, like, the weird thing is we know that this regime doesn't necessarily value defensive tackles in the draft in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They made one exception at linebacker when they picked JOK in the second round, but it's going to be interesting to see if they like shift their draft philosophy going forward, because a lot of the things that, you know, analytics say, maybe you don't have to put a whole ton of value on them, like linebackers and defensive tackles. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that have doomed the Browns season last year and kind of the year before.
Yeah.
So you have to eventually shift your philosophy. You can't just keep beating your head against the wall and hoping something changes.
That's where I think Schwartz comes in too. He's a new voice in the room. I think he knows quite well what the defensive line's importance is, especially the interior. So I think just him kind of get in there. I wonder how big of a voice he was on getting Tomlinson. Like he knows how important it is, and they can't just let it go like they have the past, what, 2 or 3 years here. I absolutely love Tomlinson. He was by far the best run stopper in free agency, like by far.
Yeah. I mean, obviously a guy like Javon Hargraves is the best all around, but
right. Yeah.
The contract San Francisco gave him, the Browns weren't going to be able to touch.
No.
Even though they said that they were the final two, the Niners and the Browns.
Yeah. Yeah. They said the structure was why he changed or no, that was Draymond Jones.
That was Draymond Jones. But the contract structure that they offered him in Seattle is like, here is all of your money now.
right. Yeah. I love Tomlinson. I think he actually, like, he's improved a lot over the years in pass rushing. So he has become a three down defensive lineman, which is a great signing too. So he's not just like a two down guy. You have to come off the field. He can actually rush the passer. He's very athletic for a 325-pound guy.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be, you would look at him and say, okay, this guy's just going to be like, take up two blocks and make everybody else's job easier. He'll do that, but he can also get between the tackles and kind of penetrate and get some pressure on the backfield, which is much needed from this interior, because they had absolutely nobody that could do that last year.
And obviously, I think that one of the biggest reasons that makes this signing so, like, it takes the Browns obviously needed someone like this, but it takes their signing of him to a new level.
Mm-hmm.
His cap hit this year is $4.3 million.
Right.
Like, his base salary is $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his base salary next year is $1.2 million. Like,
that's why they signed all these guys, and they still have like $11 million left or something.
Yeah,
something
I think it's 14. Yeah, they still have $14 million dollars.
Right.
Because I think Okonkoro signed a similar contract. I think that was the first time I've said that out loud. although we did have this discussion in the Discord.
Yes, we did.
How we had to practice
we will,
that.
We will announce it. We will say it once, and then it's going to be Oboe for the next. That's his nickname.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's actually a good kind of leeway to our next signing. The Cleveland Browns signed. That was their first signing of the day of free agency. It was Ogbonnaya.
Yeah.
Okoronkwo.
Yeah, his first name is actually the same, similar to that the running back we had.
Yeah, those years Ogbonnaya. Ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Obo, he was the first signing of the day. He's an edge rusher. They signed him to a 3-year, $19 million contract with $12 million guaranteed, which was another kind of value because edge rushers were getting highly paid around the league all over the place. So, he is, I said Tomlinson is a descending player. I think Obo is probably the biggest, highest upside guy. He's never really had starting level snaps until like late last year, middle of last season.
Yeah, and he actually played really well against the Browns.
Yeah. I'm seeing all these clips on Twitter of the Browns game where he's just
running wide, right by Wills. Another guy that has a $2.1 million cap hit this year.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What's your thoughts on Obo?
I think as far as what the Browns are looking for, he's a guy that has produced and is like an up-and-comer and is still trying to get to that level where he gets his big payday.
Yep.
So having a guy that's motivated like that, as well as someone who, you know, kind of checks all the boxes. He grades high. He has good production on the field. But he's a major kind of mental differentiator from Clowney, who doesn't believe he has a whole lot left to prove, that he thinks he's the best guy out there. He thought he was better than Myles Garrett. Like, he can provide so much in the way of a tenacity that they kind of need opposite Myles Garrett. So it's a great signing for all the reasons that we talked about. But I think that one of the biggest things about it is that he's a signing that still has the drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was a thing I wanted to kind of go into this offseason. I think the Clowney kind of experiment ended as we probably should have expected.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it's ended at all four of his stops.
Right. Yeah, he just wore his time out here. Especially when you piss off Myles Garrett, you know you did something wrong.
Yeah. Like, there's been two people that have pissed him off in his career. One of them got hit in the head with a helmet, and the other is no longer on a football team.
Right. I love the upside. He's 27. I really wanted a guy, kind of get a younger guy. He was probably my third option at edge rusher, so, like, this is a great – I was very happy with this. He was 27. He's 27 years old. I love the youth on him, and then just the upside he can provide. He has the makings to be like Myles Garrett's co-partner on the edge in the strike. That's what I love to see, because we don't have first round picks till a couple years from now. Yeah. Like, we can't get those top end edge rushers in the draft usually they're going to be flying off the board. So Getting a high upside guy in free agency is another way of doing it, and I love the signing. He's athletic. He's super athletic. Explosive off the ball. He can actually win with power, which you wouldn't think at his size, but he's shown it. So I love all the signings, but like this is one of my most exciting ones so far. So our next one, this was done yesterday. No, 2 days. These days are all flying by.
It gets harder as the tournament starts because
I know. I think
your timeline isn't full of free agency. It's full of basketball and then some free agency mixed in.
Right. I think this was Wednesday. Juan Thornhill from the Kansas City Chiefs, a safety. What's your thoughts on that? Let me see what he signed. He signed.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
His contract was a 3-year, $21 million one.
Yeah, just like the rest of the guys. Just like the rest of the guys, he is making the minimum this year, and his cap hit is 2.2.
Right.
Like that's the clear theme for the Browns this season. Yep.
Front load.
Season. They are
front load.
No, they're backloading all of their contracts.
Oh, I mean, like backload.
He has four void years.
Yeah, that one. That was the funniest one. Like four void years is so funny.
Yeah, like he makes most of his money after his contract ends.
Yeah,
which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But you know he's a guy that really kind of fills a role. Like one of the things that this team's been missing is someone who can ball hawk in the secondary.
Yep.
Like John Johnson never turned into that. Whether that was the scheme or him,
combo.
I guess we'll never know. But he is, you know, obviously he's been to the mountaintop a couple times, so he has that experience to pass on. I think that this tweet here on this contract breakdown that he is third in safeties in the league last year for forcing incompletions, 20%. Mm-hmm. Incompletion forced right.
Yep.
So, like,
I think Grant Delpit was high on that too.
Yeah, Grant Delpit was 12th, 14%. So, it's just a like they're finding ways, like we kind of thought, even when we knew that they wouldn't have a whole lot of money. Mm-hmm. They're finding ways to make pretty big roster improvements on the margins, which, you know, when you're at this point in the cycle, that's what you have to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you've already paid your quarterback. Luckily, they're not also paying for a left tackle right now. Yeah. Honestly, you probably like with the Watson contract, you might never pay for a left tackle. You might just draft one every 5 years. But they're really like they've really attacked this in the way that they both needed to and in a really good way. They're signing players that like everyone agrees. Like there's not been very many national people or like when Bengals people are on Twitter and saying, "Oh shit, the Browns signed Juan Thornhill."
Like always a good one.
That's a pretty good indicator of where you're at.
Yeah.
So and I know Bengals fans wanted him, like, because they lost both of their safeties. They have yet to sign a replacement.
Yeah.
And they spent $60-something million on a left tackle who's pretty good.
We'll get into that later, but oh boy.
So they might not have the funding to really go replace those guys.
Yeah.
And so the way you look at it is the Bengals have not really done a whole lot to get better. Yes, they've gotten a better left tackle, like better than Jonah Williams is a low bar, but They're better on the offensive line. They kept the linebacker who I actually wanted the Browns to sign. I think he ended up getting too much, like probably more money than they wanted to give. But you know, with everything, and we'll go into the AFC North stuff later.
Yeah. But yeah, I absolutely love Juan Thornhill. This is probably my favorite signing of the free agency, and as I said, I love the other ones. He was a favorite of mine in the 2019 draft. I had him as the number 3 safety, 26 overall. I was looking back just today to see where I had him, and yeah, I thought he was going to be great, and it's pretty funny. I wrote that he was a versatile defensive back who can provide multiple roles, and that's pretty similar to what I said about Grant Delpit. So it's kind of nice having kind of two versatile guys that can, they can kind of move around, and which helps with the deception of the.
And what you've done is you have a guy who is an oversized, like an undersized linebacker playing safety, mm-hmm. and now right. you have a true center fielder,
right?
Who, as long as he doesn't like completely blank on his assignments, should prevent things like what we saw last year from happening again.
Yeah, I love this one. I think he fits really well with what Delpit does. It's especially in Schwartz's defense where you need a center fielder. He's going to be fit right in there. What did he have? 3 picks last year, I think, which would have led the Browns by far, I think.
Yeah. I don't even know who had the most.
Did anyone have over 1? I can't even think of anybody.
I don't know. I don't even want to know.
Right. But yeah, it's they needed a guy that can play the ball well. Actually, know his assignment would be nice too.
So yeah,
that's a big upgrade. So yeah, I think this is just a monumental upgrade over John Johnson, and to get him at this price is just it's a welcome sight here. So I love Juan Thornhill. Next one, well, we're going to mush them together here. I don't think they're officially signed yet, either of them, but Maurice Hurst and Tristan Hill, both interior defensive linemen. I'm assuming they're going to be 1-year contracts, I would assume.
Probably.
At pretty low guaranteed money. Maurice Hurst is coming off a pretty serious injury, so he hasn't really played much last couple of years. He is I would say he's kind of a guy that he could be a steal, like, because like when he's healthy, he's really talented. Like, I had him coming out of the draft as the number 13 prospect. He's a really talented guy. It's just been a matter of kind of health in the NFL. He's an explosive interior guy. So another guy who can pressure the quarterback. It's a really nice kind of lottery addition here. And then Tristan Hill is more of a role player, I would say, instead of Maurice Hurst. Maurice, I think, could be, he's like a boomer bust. Like, he's either going to play, I think he'll either play a lot, or he just won't even see the field or not even make the team based on his health.
I mean, I think a lot of these two defensive tackles were brought in to
get Togi.
They're either going to be depth, or they're going to push Togi and what's his name?
Elliot.
Yeah, to be better.
Yeah.
And Winfrey,
yeah.
And Winfrey is not someone they're going to give up on yet. I think Togi is reaching that point.
I think if you had a fourth season,
if he doesn't show it in training camp, I think he's probably gone.
Right. If you had to like rank him, I think it's Winfrey by a lot in terms of their confidence in him, and then probably Elliot and Togi are pretty.
Yeah, Elliot at least like did some stuff last year.
Right. Togi did not.
Togi was a mobile speed bump.
Yeah. Tristan Hill, I think, is going to be – I think he'll actually stick. I don't think he's like a kind of – I think he's – he can be like one of those guys you throw in as the first kind of early downs, and he stops the run pretty well. I think he'll probably do that. I think he's more of a guy that they think he can produce rather than a kind of a lottery ticket, but we'll see. The contract will tell us all. They'll tell us how much confidence they have in both of these guys. But any other thoughts on these two?
No, I think they are good flyers to take. They seem like they have good upside.
Yeah.
But there's a reason that they came at a like a minimum contract level.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Both pretty highly thought of in the draft for both years. Maurice Hurst was a lot higher, but Hill was a favorite of people. So it's
they both check all the analytical boxes. Let's put it that way.
Actually, all five of these guys, like,
yeah, they check the boxes. But like,
if you look at their Ross and all that, and their spark and all that, they're pretty high up on the list.
Yeah, and no analytics hating football people are going to say that these are bad signings because they're analytically driven. Like, analytics can help. Like,
right. Yeah,
and these are guys that show it, because these are guys that football people love the signings of, and they're ones that analytical driven people love the signings of. So
when you're
pleasing both sides, you've made good moves. And then when you've only spent what, $7 million total out of this year's cap to do it.
Right. Yeah. It was just nice that they keep adding bodies down there. What was last year? I think they signed one.
It was
just Dave and Brian. Like, they needed to get fresh blood in there. Obviously you needed at least one just stud kind of guy, and that was Dalvin Tomlinson. I'm hoping they get another one. We'll talk about that later in the show here. But just getting these, what, three bodies now in the interior, that's a good sign. It shows that they know this was a problem.
and it shows they're willing to correct mistakes, because in 2021 they got cheap D tackles and they worked because they were good players. And then in 2022, I think they wanted, and we've talked about this, in 2022, they wanted to test their theories even further, that we could spend literally nothing on defensive tackle and it'll be fine. And I think they realized, oh shit, we can't do that.
We have
to actually, you know, get players that can play football.
That test failed. that's the Browns so far. They signed, what, five people? Five guys, including their own guys. So, yeah, it's been a busy 5 days already.
Yeah, seven new contracts.
Yeah, seven new contracts.
Not bad for a team that has no cap space.
Right. And that kind of leads us into the rest of the division. The Browns have been the most busiest team.
They've been the most active. The Ravens, have they done anything aside from piss off Lamar Jackson?
So this is... What are we looking at? Okay. So, I have the departure. So, let's start with the Ravens. They have lost. They cut. What's the big guy's name? Oh, I can't think of his name.
He's not Calais Campbell.
Yes, Calais Campbell.
Who still doesn't have a team, and I wouldn't mind the Browns taking a flyer on. But he
Yeah. Sammy Watkins is gone. Who's the other big names here? Deshaun Elliott, their safety.
One of their guards, was it Powers?
Yes.
Signed a gigantic contract.
Their center, Bradley Bozeman, is gone. He went to the Panthers. Your Panthers.
Yeah. I actually think he was with them last year. Oh. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea.
Am I looking at the wrong year? Oh, crap. Okay. Hold on.
We found it. We found the problem.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the Ravens are kind of tentative to do anything because they don't know the status of Lamar.
Right. Yeah, it's that's one of those things that it's a good point. Like, they can't really do anything because they don't know what that number is going to come in as. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's either $32 million or it's you're tanking. Like, you're either paying $32 million to your quarterback or you're tanking. So,
yeah, and then let's just talk about. So Lamar hasn't been signed by anybody. I haven't even heard like a name or like it's been pretty quiet on in terms of.
I'm starting to get the feeling that it's going to be an after the draft thing because the teams that want him might want to use their draft pick. I still think the Falcons are lying.
Right.
Okay. But the rest of his suitors have kind of dried up. The Raiders kind of spent money on Jimmy Garoppolo for some reason. The Commanders have Jacoby Brissett, who, you know, obviously if you get Lamar Jackson, Jacoby Brissett can just go sit on the bench. But
right. Okay, I have the list now. We have the list. Up-to-date list. I was like, what am I looking at here? Okay, so Ravens going back to them. Calais Campbell, Jason Pierre-Paul hasn't been signed. Justin Houston hasn't been signed yet. As you said, you were right. Ben Powers is gone. He went to the Broncos. Juwan James is still a free agent. They traded Chuck Clark. Marcus Peters and Kyle Fuller are gone or are still free agents. And as we said, Sammy Watkins and DeMarcus Robinson and Kenyon Drake are free agents for them still. Yeah. What they have added is Justice Hill was re-signed, Geno Stone was re-signed, and Trayvon Mullen was re-signed. So they haven't signed anybody outside. That's crazy. Yeah,
because they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so Lamar is screwing the Ravens over in more ways than one, right. But he's screwing himself over if he doesn't get a contract elsewhere.
Right. Yeah, like the crazy, like they took a lot of hits on their defense, like a lot of hits. I know Chuck Clark is probably not a big one because they have Kyle Hamilton to take over.
But Chuck Clark was also kind of getting up there.
Right, yeah. But Marcus Peters was a productive guy for him. Both are edge rushers. Like Justin Houston was a big part of their edge rushing, and
yeah,
Jason Pierre-Paul and Calais Campbell has been a stalwart for them ever since they traded for him a couple years ago. So yeah, they've taken a lot of hits on defense, and then their offense was already bad, and they haven't
gotten better.
No,
The Ravens are looking at like with Lamar, even with their their losses are pretty. Pretty, I mean, not damning, but like they're not great. And, you know, if you have Lamar, you're probably still competing for a playoff spot because Lamar is just that good as long as he doesn't get hurt. If you lose Lamar, that team has no excuses not to just fold it in and hope for a quarterback, hope to get Caleb Williams.
Right. Yeah. That's why
which the Rams and Bucks are already kind of competing for that title as we speak. So
yeah. That's why it's interesting. Like I'm wondering why obviously you don't want to get rid of Lamar, but like it just seems like just a bad situation where and their roster is kind of it's very old. It's
Their roster aged. Their offense is not built for doing offense things without Lamar Jackson.
Right, like it just screams like a if this Lamar thing kind of gets even worse, kind of relationship wise, like this screams a rebuild.
But yeah, and the Ravens haven't rebuilt in like 15 years. Like,
right. Like yeah,
they had some lean years.
It was like
they had some lean years, but like they haven't truly had to rebuild since they went through the Kyle Bowler era.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's the Ravens. The Bengals. So they lost Samaje Perine.
Their best running back.
That's based on the analytics. Yes, that is true. Hayden Hurst went to the Panthers. Your Panthers. And then the
I
big
like that
thing
signing for the Panthers.
Right. Yeah, he's a good tight end. And the big losses have been the safeties. They've all pulled their safeties, Von Bell and Jesse Bates.
Yeah.
Von Bell went to your Panthers again, and Jesse Bates went to the Falcons. Yeah, that's – those are – they and they have signed people. We talked a little bit of – they signed a huge contract to Orlando Brown. They signed Cody Ford, a guard, and then they re-signed their linebacker, Jermaine Pratt. But just based on like, they have no money left, right? Like,
I mean, they have, I think they have $17 million left in the cap for this year, okay. But you have some major bills coming due next season. I think you're probably going to want to roll that over.
Yeah.
Roll as much of it over as you can. Obviously, I think like Bengals fans I know are still talking about how they want to shine Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah.
But is his what's his contract going to be at this point?
Right. Based on just him sitting out, it seems like he wants a Jesse Bates kind of.
Yeah, he wants that kind of deal.
And if they weren't going to sign Jesse Bates for that amount, what makes you think they're going to sign Chauncey Gardner-Johnson there? So, I was just looking at their safeties. Their safeties right now are Daxton Hill and Nick Scott.
Yeah.
So Daxton Hill, I believe, is a second year guy.
People I know seem to be high on Hill at least.
Yeah,
at least
he's a second year guy.
Start.
Right.
But the other guy Scott I have no knowledge of.
Yeah.
And you're already probably, is Eli Apple still going to be on the team? Because if so, yay.
I have the roster. We'll see.
Oh, no, he's a free agent. So you're, yeah. I mean, I don't think the Bengals are going to be making any moves to re-sign Eli Apple. So, like, you're going to have a lot of turnover in that secondary. And I know they're high on guys like Cam Taylor-Britt, but.
Yeah. They still, their corners are pretty good. They got Woozy. They got.
Yeah, they're going to get a Woozy back. They like Cam Taylor-Britt.
Hilton, Taylor-Britt. Yeah, those three are good, but, like, they got no help behind them
right now.
Like, that's a major issue. It's sort of like what the Browns have had in the interior. Like they had nobody. Like this is, you got to have like at least playable players back there.
Yeah. So. I mean, the Browns had good secondary and good edge rushers, but up the middle of the defense was weak. Yeah.
Right.
And now like, the back end of the Bengals defense is going to be weak.
Yeah. And we've seen it like right NFL now. NFL teams will haunt you at your weakest spot.
Yeah. If they find your weakness and you can't patch it. Yeah. They will keep exploiting it. Like teams that didn't run the ball last year ran the ball on the Browns.
Right.
The Chargers don't run the ball.
Right.
They ran the ball like crazy on the Browns. Like
yeah. So
it's just it's like you got to find where your weak spot is. Yeah.
They also lost their tight end, which
he was a safety blanket there.
Right. Their best back to back years, they lost their tight end. So it'll be interesting to see how they go there.
Yeah. And people that I was talking to was like, we should go sign Mike Gesicki. And I'm like, well, he just signed this morning.
Oh, yeah. He did. Patriots, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The tight end market hasn't really been that busy so far. So.
No, it sounds like, based on reports this morning, the Browns are going to kind of cool their jets on their pursuit of, what was his name, Donald Parnham?
Yeah. I think, he's probably looking for a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I think down the line they'll probably sign somebody. But, so that's the Bengals. Their offensive line is much improved because of the left tackle. Orlando Brown is 100 times better than Jonah Hill.
And even though he's not, like, Miles Garrett is probably still going to...
Right.
Like,
well, he still can... He can still haunt Lawal Collins on the other side, so...
Yeah, like, and now that the Browns have, like, two or three guys that they trust to send at the quarterback, mm-hmm. like, you're not gonna make Miles Garrett ram his head into Orlando Brown Jr. the whole game.
Right. I also... Collins, I forget what his injury was. Was it a serious injury that he had?
I'm not sure.
I forget what it was, but he's coming off an injury, so that's another thing to watch. But Okay, that's the Bengals. Browns, we can always. So this is where the Browns lost. Jacoby Brissett, obviously.
Was obvious. We knew that was coming.
Yeah. Kareem Hunt is free agent still. Good luck with that, because I don't. Like, if you're looking, the running back position is the funniest thing to watch in free agency. If you just like some of the top fantasy running backs last year are free agents and they signed for like nothing. So,
yeah, Miles Sanders, who went to Carolina, the Panthers have been active because they needed offensive talent because they had a giant gaping black hole there. But,
It's pretty funny. And for Kareem Hunt, who looked absolutely terrible last year, he looked like a shell of a person that he used to be. It's going to be
It all happened so fast, too.
He was
good in 2021, and last year he was just.
Yeah, he had no explosiveness. Yeah, it was shocking. It was quite shocking. But D'Ernest Johnson is still, isn't he? I think he's restricted, right? I think
they placed a tender on him. I'm not going to be shocked. Like, I think the Browns are going to be happy with bringing back their running backs as is.
Yeah, Jerome Ford. Yeah. I think they really like Jerome Ford. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're going to be happy. Like, and I don't think they're going to go out and spend any more money on the running back position because the bulk of Nick Chubb's contract is going to start to kick in. And those are big numbers.
Right.
Obviously they'll probably restructure him. I'm surprised that they've gotten away so far with only restructuring the one contract.
Yeah. I think they're probably going to, just go kind of go step by step, and until they need it, they're gonna do it. But
I also have a feeling they might be saving some of them for next year, because I imagine you can restructure contracts in consecutive years, but it probably pisses the player off if you keep like changing their contract
up. Right. Watson's was just like a clear as day, we have to do this,
and like, this is $36 million. And I think we talked about, I don't know if when we recorded the last one, had they restructured his contract yet? I don't think they had.
No, I think it was done Monday morning.
Yeah. So I think people have been up in arms all week about, oh my God, they're going to pay him $63 million each of the next three. They are never going to pay $63 million to Deshaun Watson for a single season.
Yes.
They're going to find ways to drag this out. Yep. It's going to be void years. It's going to be extensions.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, he has to be worth an extension. So if he goes out and plays well this year, they're probably going to extend him in two years. And
exactly.
And drag that money out a little bit, make more void years on the back. Like, we're going to be paying this contract until like 2033. So,
right. Yeah. But it's going to be smooth. It's going to be smushed through, 25 years here or something like that.
Yeah. Like, this is going to be our own Bobby Bonilla. But, like, this is what you have to do with the football salary cap. You have to game it. You have to keep doing these things.
Yep.
The Saints have gotten away with it for a while. I think they're finally starting to come around on it. The Eagles have been gaming it for a while. They're finally paying for it this year. Like, eventually, yes, you pay for it.
Yeah.
But you can drag it out. You can drag it out almost a decade. You can drag it out almost a decade.
Yeah. Like, even with the Eagles, like, they were able to sign Schley back. So there's like ways to still do what you need to do.
They did lose most of their defense, which is,
they did.
I imagine that's horrifying for Eagles fans. But
yeah. Okay. Getting back to the Browns. Chris Hubbard is still a free agent. Froholt got signed to the Cardinals, so those are two backups for offensive line.
I wouldn't mind bringing back Hubbard. He's just a good swing tackle.
Yeah, he never really played. Never was really active last year, which is weird.
He got hurt, didn't he?
He must have. I don't know. Jadeveon Clowney's gone. Chase Winovich signed with the Texans. Tavon Bryan went to the Colts. The Browns have five linebackers that are free agents. Jermaine Carter, who I've never heard of. Right.
Jordan Akins is visiting the Browns today, tight end.
Oh, nice.
37 catches and 5 touchdowns last season. Played with Watson in Houston.
Okay. Good to hear. Okay. Deion Jones, Anthony Walker, still free agent. Greedy Williams signed. Who'd he go to?
I think it was the Eagles.
Eagles. Yes, it was. It was the Eagles, yes. And then Ronnie Harrison and John Johnson are free agents. I don't expect them to bring Ronnie Harrison back for another year.
No. I mean, he's not a guy that you're, like, wanting to throw out on the street because he's, like, he's got his benefits. But unless you're paying him $1.068 million like you've paid everyone else, it's not worth it.
Right. Yeah, so that's the Browns. And then we'll end here with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've been probably the second busiest team, which is not saying much. But so they lost Devin Bush. He went to the Seahawks, the linebacker. They also cut linebacker Miles Jack, so they're a little bit short there. William Jackson, their cornerback, is a free agent. Cam Sutton went to the Lions, which is a semi-big loss there.
Yeah.
And then Carl Joseph and Terrell Edmonds are both free agents from the safety. And then Chris Wormley from the defensive line is also a free agent. So not huge losses, but there's semi, like Cam Sutton's pretty big.
Yeah.
He was one of their best secondary guys. They didn't really lose anybody on offense.
They didn't really have
Mason Rudolph.
Let's be honest.
Mason Rudolph.
Who did they have on offense that would be worth, like, oh my God, we lost this guy?
Yeah, Derek Watt.
Yeah, no.
Fullback. But they did sign a couple people. They signed a guard, Nate Herbig. They signed Larry Ogunjobi.
Who was a target for the Browns for a minute, but yeah. You know, hey. That's not the kind of defensive tackle they need, actually.
Which is funny. Like he signed for 3 years for $17 million guaranteed. Like, if you compared Delvin Tomlinson to him, like Delvin is 100 times better than him, and he only made what $4 million guaranteed. Yeah. I think, like that's insane. They signed linebacker Cole Holcomb and Eladen Roberts, and then they did sign Patrick Peterson. So that was, I'm guessing he's going to be kind of replacing Cam Sutton, but
he's on the downside.
I think he played well last year when they kind of figured out he can't do press man anymore. Like you gotta give him some space here so he can actually move. But that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Other than that, it hasn't been a busy AFC North besides the Browns. And
no, the Browns have made them. Well, the Bengals made the most impactful signing. Mm-hmm. The Browns have made
the most
collectively the most difference.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, when you're spending $63 million on a lineman, that's the most impactful spending because, one, it's the most money that any team is going to give out this season. And two, it's a position they needed to fill.
Right. Yeah. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers still have no tackles. So that's a thing. Like they have terrible tackles.
Maybe they'll finally draft one.
Probably not. Running back again.
No, they'll probably draft a linebacker in the first round.
They do need a linebacker, but yeah, that would be pretty funny.
It's pretty on brand for them.
It would be. They do need another corner because Patrick Peterson's their best corner right now.
No, and that would be another target in the draft for them.
Yeah, but they got a lot of holes. If you look on, so just looking on some all these rosters, Pittsburgh's got tackle problems. Their cornerback's very weak, and their linebackers are pretty weak. And then their interior defensive line is not very good besides Hayward, but he's one of those guys that can kind of patch things up because of how good he is. So they probably have the most holes in the division. Cincinnati, we went over. They don't have any safeties. and then their tight end and right tackle are a little bit of questions. And then Baltimore, we already talked about too. They took a hit. They have Humphrey still at corner, but they don't really have another corner that's good enough. Edge rushers are.
If Lamar goes somewhere else, it's really down to a two-horse race in the division.
Yeah.
The Bengals aren't going to. I mean, or not the Bengals. The Ravens aren't going to be a threat to anyone. Mm-hmm. The Steelers are going to Frankenstein their way to 7-9 wins.
always. It's inevitable.
Yeah, like it's going to happen. Don't be one of their wins, pretty much.
Yep. Yes.
Don't lose to Kenny Pickett if you can help it.
Oh, God, please not. Yeah.
There's obviously still the chance that the Steelers could develop, like, if Kenny Pickett turns into someone that's reliable as a starting quarterback, then yeah, they might have found something. But mm-hmm. I mean, until proven otherwise, I think pinning your future hopes on Kenny Pickett feels not great.
Yeah, especially what the quarterbacks they could have gotten the next couple of years here.
Yeah,
if they just kind of bombed and kind of rebuilt, they only kind of half rebuilt.
You could be staring at being in the top five right now if you just let Mason Rudolph go out there last year. Exactly. Or Trubisky, for that matter.
Yeah. Yes. That is our AFC kind of look. Obviously, a lot of it can change after the draft, because the draft, the sad thing about the AFC North is a lot of them are good drafters, especially Baltimore and Pittsburgh, but.
Yeah, it seems like every year, players that you don't want to fall to the Ravens or Steelers fall to the Ravens.
Exactly.
Or Steelers.
Cal Hamilton. I was so mad about that. But, yeah. Okay, so kind of wrap things up here. I thought we would kind of re-look at at the Browns roster and kind of give our top three remaining holes on the roster. So let's start with one. What do you think is the top roster hole right now
for the Browns? I still think you're looking at the biggest roster, and this is kind of an ambiguous one, so it feels like a cop out answer. But defensive line depth is still like their biggest hole. You've done a lot to address your front line, but you're throwing some tackling dummies up behind that front line now. So,
right. Yeah, mine would be interior defensive line. I think they still need a starter next to Delvin.
Just
it doesn't have to be even close to Delvin's level, but just someone who can be playable for next to him would be a good idea. So that's who I'm going to go with. I think if they do find that, I think then they have a solid group. If they can find someone who can start, this is gonna be a huge upgrade from last year. So,
I mean, almost anything would have been. But.
Right, true. That's basing it off of zero. Actually, negative it would be. But I'll go with interior defensive line. So, what would be number two for you?
Given the moves that they made, probably wide receiver still, number two. I think
I'm the same way. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's one. Thornhill is trying to recruit Mecole Hardman, which that would pretty much fill all the receiving roles that the Browns need.
Right.
But I mean, there's other guys. DJ Chark is still out there.
DJ seems like he'll probably be a little bit too high priced. I would assume
he's visiting with the Panthers today, actually, which would go a long way to help them. But
and Panthers got a lot of money still, right? I would assume.
Yeah, Panthers have a lot of money. Panthers have a lot of holes on offense. So,
yeah, they gave away their best receiver. So,
yeah.
So, I would agree with that. They need a speed guy. It's the one big hole on offense. So I'm going to go with the receiver, too. Mecole Hardman would be a really nice find. I don't think he would be a kind of a big guy, a big money guy, because
no, I mean, you'd probably be really looking at paying him. I mean, the Juju contract kind of screws everything up. Right. He'd probably be a $6 to $7 million guy.
Yeah. And just think of him in that kind of role that Schwartz was in, and it kind of gets you excited. Like
an actual receiver playing.
Right. And Mecole Hardman has actually done reverses and shit like stuff like that. And like, he's actually good at it.
He's played the receiver position.
He can find the blocks rather than just run through. Yeah. So that would be a good signing. I would be surprised if they didn't come out of free agency with a receiver sign, but we'll see.
I mean, it wouldn't be negligent, but it would be disappointing. No. It would be disappointing if they got.
If they don't do it, I think then that's what the second round pick is going to be.
Yeah. But,
okay, and then the third biggest need.
Probably linebacker.
Linebacker.
If for nothing, then just depth.
Yeah. I would. I would say linebacker and then like edge rusher depth would be this kind of equal to me, but I would go with linebacker because that's a starting spot that's still missing. They don't have a middle linebacker right now, so I would go with linebacker. Slightly ahead of edge rusher, but I would love to get another. I think there's still a lot of like older veterans that I think could be great rotational guys, that are still free agents. So I would lean towards kind of just adding a rotational depth kind of older veteran for edge rusher. But yeah, middle linebacker, they got nobody right now that you can like kind of feel good about. That you'd be confident about starting there. So I'll go with linebacker too. Okay. And the last thing to wrap it up here is name one player on the market still that you would want the Browns to sign.
Matt Ioannidis.
Ah, that's a good one. You especially know him from Carolina. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very good one.
I don't think, and we brought this, I think I talked about him last week. He has yet to be signed. There hasn't been a whole lot of buzz around him. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be super expensive. If Taven Bryant's getting $4.5 million, he's like, Matt Ioannidis is going to not command a whole lot of money. He fills that role. He actually had a good season last year, pass rushing from the defensive tackle position. Mm-hmm. And I just think, like we were talking about, filling that one more starting role on the defensive line, I think that does that really well, and I don't think you break the bank to do it.
Yeah, I like that one. I'm going to go with Leonard Floyd. I think he would be a perfect rotational guy. Mm-hmm. He recently got cut by the Rams, I think he was with.
Yeah.
Yes, the Rams. And he still plays at a high level. He doesn't have to start, and I don't think he's what 30 and a half years old right now. I think he would just be a perfect guy, kind of not put a lot of pressure on Oboe to kind of be the guy right away. So I would like to see him kind of get signed, but there's still a lot of guys on free agency. Like Melvin.
Yeah, there has not been there. There's not been a ton of movement.
Right. Yeah. They were supposedly Tuesday was like nobody got me. Like, yeah, it's been the first day was pretty busy and then it's been pretty quiet. Not quiet, but pretty slower than usual. Usually Monday and Tuesday and then even Wednesday are like just full fledged like signings, and it's been pretty slow. So far,
maybe the league wanted everyone to slow down this year because there was too many contracts announced at the beginning of last year.
And there's still a lot of defensive edge rushers, a lot of interior defensive linemen that are kind of rotational guys would be good. Receivers are kind of hit or miss here. There's Mecole Hardman. There's Darius Slayton. But, yeah, there's still a lot of quality guys out there. So I'm excited to see where the Browns go next here. Because they still have some work to do, as we were talking about, but they started off this free agency very well. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I just think this is, I mean, it's been pretty much everything we wanted. They've gotten good players on contracts that are friendly to what they want to do going forward. They've improved the team, and they still have space to do it more.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. That's my thoughts too. It's been fun. We'll be back, I don't know, sometime. If something else breaks or we need to talk about something, we'll be back, and we'll be back before the draft to get you ready for that. So thanks for joining us, everybody. This was another WFNY Brownscast, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and thanks for joining us.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hasty, the host of Ohio vs. the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains, we'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio vs. the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.